the totally unreachable for any manner of world or creature, whether they be physical or non-physical. Yet the unmanifest exists, in a potential way. Some prefer to call it the void, others the cosmic unconscious. Then those guardians run the whole cosmos? No, they only guide the realms of humankind. There are many other systems, dimensions, universes, with different non-humanly alien life forms, that have separate guiding hierarchies of their own kind. Then who is in charge overall? We don't have cold facts on that one, only subjective ideas. When it comes to the ultimate, there are really no simple answers. The known whole of the cosmos by itself is infathomable, dynamic, ever-evolving, as it keeps unfolding from the depths of the void. Why do these guardians bother to care for our physical universes? Because our worlds are like their garden. The healthier and happier we are, the nicer it is for them. They are like artistic gardeners using their talents to ward off evil, and to make us prosper. They may be an evil force that poses as beneficial, for all you know. Well, that's not the case. Their being beneficial is rather evident by their actions. By their fruit, you can tell. Of course, you can't really be blamed for being suspicious. Earth's underdeveloped regions feel the same way towards gestures of aid from richer countries. Now you fear that we may be a Trojan horse of some evil power from outer space. Yet, we have no choice but to press on with our Earth missions. You see, we don't want other, possibly ruthless aliens to beat us to a contact in our own backyard. Believe me, there are some deadly powers out there. Therefore it's quite logical for us to stick to our own kind, as if in an intercosmic commonwealth of humanity. It all sounded quite reasonable. I was inclined to believe it, or at least to give it the benefit of the doubt, since the point could not be proved or disproved at this stage. Quentin went on. Anyhow, on the plane of naked essences there is no way to lie, and no need for it either. The guardians being with the forces of light is quite obvious there, just like the open hostility of the arrogant dark forces. Fact is, that the naked evil is still quite appealing to the like mentalities, even being courted for favors. Instead of working, couldn't these guardians go away to some kind of paradise, and just enjoy themselves? Matter of fact, they could, for they earned the right to eternal bliss. But they rather chose to stay out in the unfolding cosmos, in order to guard us against destruction by the dark forces, to guide us in our evolutionary growths, to alleviate unnecessary sufferings due to ignorance in the backward areas, like some celestial Peace Corps workers, showing positive and more efficient ways to joyous creativity. So they stay on the job, until we all got liberated from ignorance and grew into reasonable near perfection. Then, apparently the masters are out of this all. Not quite. Even though they ascended to unimaginable heights which are no longer of these worlds, they still keep in touch through the guardians. By the way, why weren't we made perfect right from the start? But we were, in a way. We were perfect as babies, undifferentiated blanks. Afterwards though, we can only grow towards perfection of character, knowledge, love, through innumerable perennial experience. And this journey of growth is the whole point of existence. The very process of life is the product, not so much the final result. Every experience at any stage is equally important, every moment is incomparably unique. New Dawn of Man as Light Bearers. Quentin's New Age Speech. Chapter Rainbow at Niagara Falls from About My Space Friends. On that early Sunday morning of July 3, 1988, I just happened to be wondering again about a long overdue contact with my space friends, when the signal came. Flashed across my field of vision as if on a TV screen, I clearly saw an image of Niagara Falls. I could not tell if the image was real or mental. But without further ado, I jumped into my car and drove away for the 1 hour's distant falls from my Toronto home. When I arrived, the area was already swarming with masses of tourists, no wonder of the multitudes, since both Canada Day and USA's Independence Day fell on that long weekend. Before looking for a proper parking spot, I stopped near a motel in view of the falls, and cut the engine. There I sat in my silent car, spellbound at the sight of the Seventh Wonder's thundering cataracts, one of nature's greatest scenic masterpieces. No matter how many earlier occasions I went to the Horseshoe Falls, I always had that sense of awe in my heart. There is always a certain mystique to the roaring and tumultuous abyss. This time it had an unusually spectacular rainbow arching over its vast surroundings. Then, as I marveled about the rainbow's magnificence, came a great surprise for me. There, right from the driver's seat of my stationary car, I was beamed aboard a mile-long and rod-shaped spacecraft. It was a transparent craft named Rainbow Ship, locked in a high orbit around Earth. The craft was appropriately named after a rainbow, since it consisted of wide and transparent tubes in the colors of the rainbow. These bunched together tubes ran an entire length of the slender ship. After full bodily materialization, I found myself seated inside the yellow tubing amongst a lot of people as if aboard an airliner. Above and below, and across from us seen through neutral wall portions, there were the other colored fuselage-like tubbings full of people just like ours. The tubbings were divided into sections by bulkheads with screens, and there was good visibility all around for every passenger. Against the black vault of deep space, planet Earth's Deicide could be clearly seen as if from some great distance of countless thousand miles. The view was breathtaking, which could be enjoyed by everyone in turn as the craft rotated slowly around its axis. Near me at the Isle's bulkhead screen, a human apparition started to form. It coalesced into a lifelike projection of Quentin's golden-robed figure. The apparition put up one hand and spoke. "Even if only by holographic replicas projected from the bridge, let me welcome you my friends aboard this rainbow ship, this very unique gift from the Guardians for the special occasion. The various color codings and your particular seatings were arranged according to the particular one ray of the seven cosmic manifestation rays, to which you personally happen to belong in your present embodiment. Transmission and transporting is easier for us this way, while comprehension and transcendence for you is at its best when through your personal ray. If your facial features seem unrecognizably blurred and outshined by your inner light emanations, it is because you all are lighted beings, which fact now shows clear in this strongly amplifying high vibrational field here. You, selected light workers, contactees, former Space Odyssey participants were gathered up here to be shown your home planet's health condition in various time periods. Through the aid of time travel and clairvoyance boost, you will see your Earth's auric sheath as it was in your late 1960s, as it is now, and finally as it will be by 82% probability in the year of 2025. This rainbow ship was designed to enhance your perceiving of auric emanations and also to take us back or forward in time, so we can see and feel the actually prevailing degree of global health. On Quentin's hand signal, the sound of a melodious chime was heard. All the lights and sights started to blink off and on, rapidly increasing to a hypnotic oscillation. When in a few minutes the oscillation stopped and the surrounds normalized, the large screen had a digital display which read, 1968 AD, planet Earth was in sight again. But this time it looked sadly sick, with some angry red and brown glares on the enveloping dull grayish mist. A dramatic illustration of a troubled, negative era. 1988 AD, Earth's aura looked cleaner, yet somewhat still turbulent. A tone of optimistic surges, new beginnings could be strongly felt from the emanations. There was an overall upbeat mood. 2025 AD, the planet was a remarkably bright sight. The sparkling blue auric sheath of Earth created a healthy glow. There was a feeling of lightness and joyousness emanating from it. The sight held steady, while Quentin resumed talking. Many millions of Earth people were engaged in a mind-linked planetary peace meditation on December 31, 1986. For that Operation Peace on Earth, a grand crystal spacecraft fully charged up with cosmic energy came here to collect and amplify the vast energies sent up by the meditating Earth people. Then all these combined energies were poured as tremendous quantities of light into Earth's magnetic field, for the transmuting of the critical mass into a positive energy. This was done in hope to reverse the chain reaction of negativities, thus bring about a massive change of global consciousness for the eventual healing of this planet towards a strong spiritual love and light. I am happy to say that so far the signs have been encouraging. 1987 was to be the year of their critical mass, the year that was to set the tone of historical and cosmical unfoldment, to have a bearing on the manner of Earth's transition into a higher vibratory realm, either damaging and violent, or joyous and peaceful. Even though the great cosmic has the final say about the sequence of the coming events and their manner that are to happen on this planet, you the light workers and the starseed can help with the balancing and the alignment of the incoming new regenerative energy patterns of resonance. Then, 1987 August's harmonic convergence event was an unparalleled influx of divine illumination pouring into the planet. This was anchored by you and us effectively, and now working its way through the various strata of the world into a planetary rebirthing manifestation. And now we are moving through the accelerated time and space continuum of the pre-millennium purification period. Your bodies are being shaken, your belief systems and your emotional constitutions are all being shaken, rattled, loosened and jarred awake in this universal birthing of the golden light awareness. The incoming great cosmic energies are being felt by everyone, even if not in a similar manner. There is a great confusion and division, because many entities do not know how to cope with the vibratory acceleration. All vibrational life forms are being quickened in an upward thrusting spiral motion, that causes a raising in the frequencies of all life forms as they come more and more in harmony with the light. At this time, your bodies are part light form and part physical matter. The physical matter is being accelerated and quickened to blend more closely with the light forms which you are becoming. Each of you are being stimulated to awaken and arise to the new dawn of man as light bearers or light beings. But it is unfortunate that those who would resist the touch of this heavenly power will feel it as a negative force instead, and the stronger the resistance, the more intense the negative reaction will be. Where unbalance is present, great resistance will manifest, and necessary historic changes will come to balance the land and the lives of the people. This is a cleansing time for everyone and for the planet as well. For Earth's cleansing is most critical to her evolution, and she will be certain to complete the task. The only question is that how many of you will do likewise and live to see the coming glory? The present is the period of refinement. It may feel rough now, but it will be rewarding when you emerge as newly shining ones. Throw off the third density shackles, so that you can stay in tuned with your unfolding fourth density becomingness. Attune daily to the hierarchy's field in a clear way, and let go of all in the self that is undesirable for harmony. This requires great strength and balance, but it is well worth the effort. For some, this is an opportunity to balance heavy karmic debts and to release the soul into higher evolutionary pathways. For others, the difficult experience will serve to stimulate the soul to greater spiritual growth. Your primary purpose or mission for being on Earth is for you to have the opportunity to develop your mastery of the self while you are in a third density embodiment. You are here for your own spur soft hyphenital growth. The idea of having to obtain your directives or your answers from some outside sources, for example from someone's channeling, is becoming obsolete. Instead, you will always receive what you need, whether that comes from a book, a discussion, a lecture, a workshop, etc., for spiritual assistance will always be available. Remember, you are being taught to become self-sufficient on all levels, therefore your way of accessing the cosmic and your higher self will be decidedly different. For some of you who have been waiting for years to be beamed into the ships, waiting to be saved, it is time now to bring balance into your life and your being. The way home is not by sitting and waiting, but through growth and through increasing your light. For your light will show the way to your brothers and sisters. And it is by this effort that positive changes will be manifested in the world and in your life. Your own third density world system is presently vibrating at 3.7. It is hoped that this will reach 3.9 by your year 2000. In order to make this happen, it is important that collective consciousness be raised to that level. You will be learning to live in a different octave by living in your own mastery, consciously creating everything with purpose and function. Eventually, The checks and limitations will be removed for regaining the spiritual freedom to roam the other dimensional realities in a fully conscious way. Bilocation abilities, all ESP skills and gifts will be returned to all the starseeds and starhoppers and a cream of the light workers, to all the star children, that is. Also, to all those many volunteers in our midst from fourth density worlds or fifth density realms, to those who came reincarnating to Earth for unselfishly helping others. During these coming years there shall be a massive awakening and quickening of consciousness. There shall be a great stirring and soaring as you begin to remember. You shall remember far be soft hyphen yon the sphere of earthly embodiments. You shall reach out to the stars, the most distant galaxies, to other dimensional realms wherein lies humankind's true origins and purpose. You star children are the pioneers into the new world of harmony and order. The work you are doing inside your own lives is easing the way for all humanity, making this journey of self-trans self-formation and self-realization much easier for those who would follow. And so it is that your light will call them forth, that your light will show them the way. Thus the increasing armies of light will expand and cover the earth, and the darkness shall flee. For there is a new world coming. A whole new world order, a more joyous existence in love and harmony, along with freedom from want. Waving farewell to us, to his audience of countless thousand participants, Quentin's hollow projected form faded away. The solemn occasion was over. Soon afterwards I was beamed down to earth, back unnoticed into the driver's seat of my locked car. It was close to 12 o'clock noon by my radio's time check. Thus ended the rainbow ship incident. I was back on Earth again, yet in soul I was still up somewhere in the velvet black vault of deep space. A bright new Earth's picture was strongly imprinted on my mind. My heart was aglow with the hope and the light of a wonderful future for our planet Earth. Much of this else was taken as excerpts from book, about my space friends.